and that worked. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We're going to see if we can get this other camera working. Am I up on the right camera now? Okay. Can you position it a little better so that there we go. I think we're good. Okay. You know, that first Pentecost, it actually wasn't the first Pentecost. Pentecost had been celebrated for centuries. But the first Pentecost of the church, where the Holy Spirit came, was probably not unlike today. Nobody knew their places quite yet. Nobody could figure things out quite yet. And yet, the Holy Spirit continued to move and work in the disciples. But you know, they were a bit confused. So if we look back at our gospel lesson, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever just wanted to hold on to something? Have you ever just wanted to grab a moment, a thing, a person, and keep it with you? Keep it just the way you know it to be. Have you ever wanted to just have time stand still? Have you ever wanted to just hold on and not have to let go and do something new, be something else? Lose something you love. Have you ever just wanted to hold on? In our gospel message, the disciples just wanted to hold on. They wanted to hold on to this time with Jesus. They didn't want to let go of him. They wanted things to have been exactly as they had always been. But Jesus tells them they need to let go. They need to let go of their preconceived notions of this world. They needed to let go of the way things had been. They needed to even let go of Jesus. And when Jesus tells them this, they cannot bear it. They cannot even hear it. And Jesus knows this. And they stand there looking at Jesus in our gospel message. They just stand there dazed and confused because all they want to do is hold on. But Jesus hears their hearts and knows their sorrows and feels their fear. Still, Jesus tells them they must let go. And in letting go, even greater things are to come. See, in letting go of the earthly Jesus, what will become available to them? The advocate, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit, will come available to the whole world through them. But first, they must let go. So let's fast forward a little bit. We're going to fast forward. The disciples are huddled in the upper room. They have seen the crucifixion and they have seen the risen Christ. They have seen him ascend into the clouds. So what do they do? What do they do when they have seen all of this? Why, they do what all good church people do. They form a committee and they hold a meeting. They try to figure it all out. They try to put the right people in the right places, yet they are still stunned, dazed, and confused as to the next steps. And they wait in the upper room and they pray. Then it happened. A rush of a mighty wind, tongues of fire dancing about the room, only to settle above each disciple's head. Perhaps it was the first time someone had shouted in excitement, the roof is on fire. I'm showing my age here, but can you imagine what was going on in their minds? And I don't know about you, but if this happened to me, I would either think I was being punked by some reality show, or that I was about to get a visit from Ghostbusters, or had somehow lost touch with all reality. But what did the disciples do? Stand there, as I probably would have done, like they did in the first chapter of Acts? Stand there, dazed and confused? No. Because what was in the fire and flame was the Holy Spirit. And even if their minds couldn't comprehend it, the Holy Spirit was telling their hearts what's next. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. And the people around them who saw this spectacle, what about them? All of them were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? Yes, Peter and the disciples were over their confusion because the Holy Spirit had come in to them. It was the people observing them now who were amazed and perplexed, dazed and confused. And it wasn't the first time, because by letting go of the way they had done it before, the disciples gained a new life, one now filled with the Holy Spirit. And all the preconceptions and all the longing for the way it's always been done before are all the holes in their hearts and souls from Jesus' departure suddenly were filled. And this new power, they couldn't just hold on to it either. They had to let it go. They had to let it go out through them into the world. This advocate, this comforter, this sustainer, this Holy Spirit was to fill them and flow through them so that others could experience the Holy Spirit as well within their own hearts and souls. What does this mean? What does it mean for us as a church, as a people? How will we know this power, this Holy Spirit? One way we do so is by experiencing the unexpected. John's gospel tells us the disciples are confused and waiting for power and direction. And last week we learned that they stood there staring at the clouds until the angels came and told them, go, do. What came in the second chapter of Acts, however, still surprised everyone. The phenomena that occurred in this event was indeed stranger than fiction. No writer, Ghostbuster, or Paranormal Activity could have envisioned a stranger sight. A sound like a violent wind. And here comes the gospel writer Luke, who also wrote Acts, his love of this play on words. A sound like a violent wind, which is noi in Greek, introduced the presence of spirit, pneuma. Spirit of God like a wind, rushing tongues of fire on people became tongues of understanding that for a time completely banished the language barriers of the then known world. And many, many attempted to rationally explain what took place at Pentecost. And several passerbys to the disciples had merely unscrewed the top of maybe some Thunderbird or Boone's Farm and had a little too much that morning. They called the disciples drunk off new wine. Did you see a dismissal of the disciples as drunks or as foolish? Just wouldn't work anymore. Because I promise you, anyone who has ever experienced, say, just a little too much partying, People can get drunk and they can act a fool, and it soon passes. And when it does, one almost always feels worse afterwards. And the foolishness that occurred during this episode were acts that not usually someone wants to write the church about later. No, Pentecost was not some mere repeatable human-induced experience or event. It was a special act of God that marked the start of breaking down the barriers of language, culture, social status, economic status, religious dogma. It is a theme that drives the book of Acts. Because from the very beginning of the book, the message is consistent. Nothing can limit or restrict the scope of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit can and will break open chains and prisons and barriers, all of them. The Holy Spirit will indeed break every chain, says that gospel song. Break every chain of power, of corruption, of injustice, of poverty, of racial inequity, and of discrimination, of religion, persecution, and of hatred. Gospel says, everything you thought about judgment is wrong because the ruler of this world is already judged. It's God's love and infinite mercy and grace that breaks every chain of confusion and oppression, of sorrow and despair. Break every chain that the adversary would have us be bound by. And the Holy Spirit will make us truly free. The power of the resurrection had come to the church through the Holy Spirit, and God was announcing that this special event that dazed and confused and defeated the sinner, the adversary, this event would defeat the confusion of those who accepted it and could be brought to an end, even through the people who waited upon the Lord and received, not catched. God poured it out, set it right on top of their head. They didn't have to go chasing it, but received and were filled with the Holy Spirit. But you see, it doesn't stop there in that verse 13 that we read. It doesn't stop with merely experiencing the unexpected. To truly live Pentecost, one must first experience the unexpected, yes, but second, we must be about proclaiming the unexpected. We've done it today in our music and in our scripture, in our message, because you see, the task of God's people was and now is to proclaim the meaning and significance of the way in which God acts in the world. You know, I see on Facebook every day people proclaiming the unexpected. The most ridiculous things. Millions of people share a picture of a cat on a Roomba. Millions share a dancing baby or the, you know, the cat meme that the cat's screaming at somebody. Several million views, shares, and relish the private anguish of famous families, especially if those families might espouse what could be viewed as hypocritical lives. Yet seldom do I see more than a few shares and views of proclaiming the most unexpected thing in the world, proclaiming the Holy Spirit living and moving in our lives, proclaiming then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When was the last time that was proclaimed, that we posted that on our timelines. The ancient people, Jewish or pagan, had spent their entire lives living in a complex set of rules and regulations, but never really knowing if they would see heaven. Then comes this most unexpected news. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone. You, me, all, no caveat, no exceptions, everyone. Whosoever, says John. Everyone who calls, says Peter. Everyone bound by those chains, everyone. Romans 10:14 says, but how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? If everyone means everyone, then the someone to proclaim, the someones are us. Today, we have called on the name of Jesus, and his Holy Spirit has filled us, saved us, and we are celebrating the day when everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today we celebrate the unexpected, life-altering event, the birthday of the church. That's us. This is us. That is the church that is called to proclaim Jesus. Proclaim him in your words. Proclaim Jesus in your actions. Proclaim Jesus in the very lives that you live. Now, I did see a Facebook post this week that spoke to me. It said, stop being impressed by people who can quote scripture. Be impressed by those that live scripture. Experience the unexpected Holy Spirit. Proclaim the unexpected Jesus in your words and in your very lives. Before I close, I want to pick up that story in Acts. Verse 24. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life, and you will make me full of gladness with your presence. Later, we learned that 3,000 souls called on the name of Jesus and were saved that Pentecost. 3,000 joined the church in one day. That's exciting. 3,000 people saved with a powerful sermon by Peter that didn't once mention hellfire and brimstone or threaten eternal damnation. Instead, it proclaimed a most unexpected message. The most unexpected message of all. A message that should make our heart full of gladness. A message that Jesus conquered hell and even death. A message of hope. A message of the chains of this world broken by the very one who was broken for us. Broken by us. And after hearing this news, how can we come into the presence of the Lord our God with bitterness, resentfulness, with sadness? How can we come into this place with anything but joy and gladness and fullness of heart. Nope. No confusion here. The instructions for living Pentecost are simple. Experience the unexpected Holy Spirit and proclaim the unexpected Jesus. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his gates with the festival of Pentecost, the festival of thanksgiving and praise. Set this roof and our hearts on fire with a holy passion for Jesus and his people. Come into the very living presence of the very living God with gladness. Break whatever chains that bind you and allow the Holy Spirit to free you. Let 1,000 tongues sing. Let 1,000,000 voices declare. Light the fire in us, Jesus. Light the fire in our hearts and in our souls. Light the fire in us now and again and again and again. Amen. What is our response to that? What is our response to this amazing love? What is our response to a world left dazed and confused, but filled with the Holy Spirit? Our response is often